Vertical, how we doing? Feels good to be back in Waco Hall. It's one of my favorite places on campus, and I'm glad that you joined us tonight. Welcome. If you're new, you're welcome here. If you're old, you're also still welcome here. And so is anyone here afraid of flying? I just want to start, simple question, you, really quickly. Anyone else? Just her. Okay, a few others. Okay, I want you to know that I'm about to make that a lot worse right now. And so if you want to zone out for the next few moments, you can. I'm just warning you. But last summer, I was flying back from Colorado, and I had one of the worst experiences flying that has ever existed. And I stand before you today, which is grace. So obviously I didn't die, but it was one of those flights where we're flying from Denver to Dallas and I'm with a group of friends and there's two friends to my left and there's one friend behind me. It happens to be JC, who's on staff with us. She's our associate director on the women's side. She runs things on the girl side. And we take off and shortly after they prepare us for what's to come. They're like, hey, you go ahead and keep your seats, no using the bathroom, and there won't be drink service in today's flight, which is like a huge letdown if you're like me. You're like, I kind of need my ginger ale or coffee. It's the only place I ever drink ginger ale. I don't know why, but planes are the place I drink ginger ale. And so the fact that I wasn't going to get ginger ale or coffee was kind of a letdown, but we were just going to go with the flow. And so as this flight progresses, we start to experience turbulence. And when I say turbulence, I mean turbulence. This was not your average turbulence that lasted a few moments. This was turbulence that seemed like we were on a roller coaster. And I am not exaggerating when I'm going to show you what was happening. I was sitting in this seat, and you can ask JC if this is a true story, but this is what happened for about 40 minutes. And I'm serious. It just did not stop. It was just this uncontrollable movement, and that's a workout, so I'm done. This uncontrollable movement that happened for over 30 minutes, more like 45, felt like an eternity. And as this is happening, my friends to my left are starting to pop out Dramamine. They're like, oh, we're getting sick. Go ahead and take these pills. Like, and I'm not one to get motion sickness. But I went ahead and was like, you know what? My stomach does not feel too hot. You can go ahead and hand those over. And this guy across the aisle had already gone to the bathroom to puke, which wasn't allowed, but we were all thankful. And we could all smell it. And so he has come back from the bathroom and he's like kind of hyperventilating. He's just totally freaking out. And so we're trying not to point it out. But I take these drugs and he notices that I have these drugs. And so I look back at him and I'm just like, and he's like, yeah, for sure. So he had no idea what I was handing him. He was just hoping that this was going to be helpful and probably hoping that it was cocaine. And so, I mean, just the reality was like, get me off this plane. This is insane. I'm sick. He's sick. It smells sick. Everything is bad. And then to top it all off, I have this person behind me who's like grabbing my arm and pretending like it's a stress ball. Every 10 or 15 seconds or significant drop, because it would be like this, every significant drop, JC would come up and grab my arm and go, are you scared? And I'm like, everything in me is freaking out. I legitimately am thinking, surely we're going to die or we're going to land in another state, right? We're going to just pull over as if that's a thing. And I'm just thinking through worst case scenarios. At this point, legitimately, I have had the thought, if we start going down, which way am I going to tell everyone the gospel in 30 seconds? I'm like thinking through my head like, hey, everyone repent and believe. We're going down. Jesus, just say Jesus. Like I'm like thinking about this. I'm like, this could be epic. This would be amazing. And so I'm thinking about this because I'm a weirdo. And JC's grabbing me. And so she asked me like, are you scared? And I lied. I was like, no, everything's going to be great. It's going to be totally fine. And she grabs again and she's like, do you think we're going to die? And I'm like, no, everything's totally fine, which is not true. Like, I honestly was very concerned. But what's crazy about this is there's all this chaos around us. And these people to my back left, who JC was sitting next to, they were just bent over praying. They were just like, please, Lord, save us from this plane. I can't imagine what they were praying, but they were praying. And so JC's having a conversation with them. And what's funny about this entire plane experience is, one, I'm never going back on a plane. And two, I actually think that's a right response when there's chaos around us. Like this simple picture of the worst plane ride ever that is and feels like a roller coaster. When life feels that same way, I actually think an appropriate response is what the people behind me were doing. It's just simply praying. And so honestly, like that's the sermon tonight. There's not gonna be much more. I'm going to show you in the scriptures that this is exactly the way that we are meant to respond to anxiety and pressure and things that are overwhelming. And so if you're new or you haven't been here in a little while, we've started this series called Living the Dream, finding joy in a world full of disappointment or in a world full of overwhelming things or in a world full of anxiety. And so if you will turn with me in the Bible to Philippians 4, that's where we're gonna be tonight. And I don't need to read you statistics. Honestly, there are statistics about anxiety that actually bring me anxiety to read. So I'd rather not read them to you, but I want you to consider for a few moments, what are the things that you're dealing with right now in life that are pressure, that feel like pressure? Like, just think about it, like GPA, the pressure of a certain GPA or a pressure to get into a certain major, if there's certain requirements, there's pressure from your parents, right? There's pressure within social status, or you know, there's just always things to do. So there's pressure and FOMO and all these different things. And then there's pressure even with the organizations that we're a part of, the things that we've signed up for, even the, you know, the extra things to make sure that our resume looks good. There's pressure to build the resume. There's pressure in everything. There's pressure in relationships. There's pressure on the other side of the people that aren't in relationships. There's a pressure to be in a relationship. There is pressure everywhere. And so I want you to consider, maybe even write it out, like what is it that brings pressure in your life? Or what feels like you have pressure? What are those things that make you feel that way? Some of you seniors are even trying to figure out the answer to the question, what are you going to do when you graduate? And it's like, I have no earthly idea what I'm going to do when I graduate. You know that pressure. You feel a pressure just to be able to answer the question. What pressures do you feel? We're going to look to Philippians 4. This is a book about rejoicing. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's giving a reality check to this church because it's kind of a fluffy book, I'll be honest, which is why I love it and read it all the time and memorize, you know, primarily passages from it. And so, like, it's really, really a sweet book that's uplifting, but he pauses near the end of the book just to give a roadmap of how to respond to anxiety. And so we pick up, or first I'll tell you what we're going to learn tonight, which is the peace of Christ. In spite of anxiety, we're gonna learn how to find the peace of Christ. We're gonna see a command, an alternative, and a promise. And I'm gonna give that sermon pretty quick. And then what we're gonna do the second half of tonight is we're gonna look at a person in the Bible, somewhat of a person study. I don't know if that's a thing, but we're gonna do it. And we're gonna look at somebody's life who's exemplified this for us. So that's tonight. That's where we're going, starting in Philippians 4. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. So if you're a note taker, the command is do not be anxious. That's the command that Paul's giving the church in Philippi. Don't be anxious about anything. And this Greek word for anxious is this image that is that you're being pulled in all sorts of directions, which is kind of the way we feel like life is. Those pressures that we just talked about, that these are the things that are pulling us in all these different directions. And Paul's telling the Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So again, the first thing is this command to not be anxious, which is not that helpful, right? If I were to stop right now tonight and just say, all right, everyone leave here, quit being anxious. Good luck, right? That wouldn't be super helpful, but thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us there. he gives us an alternative to the command, which is prayer. The alternative is prayer. In fact, he says, but in everything in life, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's unique about this is it's talking about praying, and then it talks about supplication, which is a form of prayer, and then it talks about thanksgiving, which is a form of prayer, and then it follows it up with, let your requests be made known to God, which is, in fact, prayer. Pray, 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 pray is a response to anxiety. And in fact, I think, I just want some of you to leave with this homework assignment. If you've ever dealt with anxiety, this homework assignment is for you. Leave tonight and memorize this passage. Leave tonight and memorize this passage so that when you feel pressure or anxiety, you think, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. This is what we're meant to do, is pray this. And there's a few things I want you to see within this prayer, because some of us are like, what is prayer? It seems so complicated, yet it also seems so simple, and therefore I am thus confused. So I want us to see here from this text a few things about prayer that are true according to Scripture. The first thing is that we can approach God. Like in anxiety, we can approach God, or in high or low, we have the ability to approach God, which honestly is a beautiful picture of the gospel. And the gospel is good news for people that have fallen short of God's glory, which is probably all of us. Nobody's in here like, nope, I'm up to par with God's glory here tonight. No, 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 that's probably not you. That's not me. So we've all fallen short of God's glory and his perfection and his righteousness. And despite this separation that's caused because we've fallen short, in Christ Jesus, this gap is bridged. Therefore, we can now approach God. Because of our work? No. Because of the work that has been done through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we can freely approach God in receiving his grace. We can be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's how we approach God, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And the same is true in prayer. Like, some of us are like, yeah, I know the gospel is good news, what Jesus has done for me. Yes, he's set us free. Yes, he's reconciled us to the Father. But what we don't understand is this same thing is true and why we have the ability to go to God with any of our anxieties. We can approach God with any of our anxieties. And in fact, Paul is encouraging us to do this because Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator that allows us to approach a holy and perfect God. So part of prayer is approaching God. Another part of prayer is asking. This word supplication means that you can ask for something. You can ask God to help. You can ask God for a particular outcome. And even later in this verse, it says, let your requests be made known to God. So first, we can approach God. Second, we can ask him. And I just want to be honest with you, like, it's vulnerable to ask the God of the universe who has control of everything. It takes some vulnerability to be like, can you please respond in this way? Can you fix this? Because you know that, you know, it's possible that that isn't his will. So I just want to encourage you. I understand that asking God for something actually requires a humility and a trust that he is in control and he is good. But just because it requires vulnerability doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. So first, in prayer, we approach God. Second, we ask God. And then third, we see thankfulness. So the third A is an attitude. This attitude of thankfulness is what we do in acknowledging the things we're thankful for. Just think about some things that you're thankful for today. I'll help you. Breath. Amidst all the chaos in life, all the schoolwork, all the responsibility, all the pressure, we still have the opportunity to be a student. That's a gift. We can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for maybe even just a friend that we could turn to and cry with. We can be thankful for that. Some of us can be thankful for family. We can be thankful for all sorts of different things. We can be thankful that the Bears are 7-0. Am I right? Like, seriously. Wow, that was good. So good. Hey, I just want you to know, this is my prophecy for the week, and this will be my only prophecy this year. You ready? Next week in Waco Hall on Monday, we're still going to be undefeated. You heard it here first, all right? That's it. Some of you need to think about that, but don't worry about it, all right? All right. Some of you need to get with the calendar. Anyways, I won't prophesy again. All right, here we go. Verse 7, I've lost you all. There is a promise that comes when we respond with prayer, all right? So there's this command, don't be anxious. There's an alternative to anxiety, which is prayer. And then we have this promise in verse 7. I want you to memorize this too. And it's this, and the peace of God. Doesn't that just sound good? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's a promise that comes when we pray that we will find peace. And it's not just this peace that's this kind of feeling that's momentarily or all this other. It is a peace that surpasses understanding. I love it when the Bible says it surpasses understanding, because that just makes me think it's literally mind-blowing, right? It's this cool thing where this idea, and I don't know if you've ever seen the emoji of the mind-blowing. You should look it up. And that's what I think of. Like, there's this peace, and it's this emoji of head gone, right? Like, this is what happens, this promise of peace. And it's this peace that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This word guard, like, we know what guarding means. It means to protect or garrison or, surround, right? What's crazy about this is that the same word for guard will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This same word for guard was used in Acts 28:16. And that probably doesn't mean anything to any of you, okay? But you can write this down. Look this up. Paul most likely was writing this letter from prison in Rome. And he was writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And as he's writing this letter, Acts 28:16 says that Paul was being guarded by a prison guard. So when he's talking about like guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the homie is living it. He's like, this is what life is like with Christ. You will receive the peace of God, and it will be with you right here like this prison guard is next to me. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that sweet to see how the Bible just works together? Just as Paul has this 24/7 guard in prison, so too does the peace of God, which transcends understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. When we humbly give and approach God and ask him, and we have an attitude of thankfulness. And so we see that peace amidst chaos only comes from Christ. Peace amidst chaos only comes from Christ. And I just want you to know that in some ways, some bad news. You see, when I was a student, I think I experienced a little bit of anxiety here and there. There were seasons where it was a little bit more and a little bit less. But I really think that it gets harder. I know that's like awful news to some of you, that life might actually require more responsibility and pressure further on down the line. But I just want you to know that of my 8 roommates my senior year, I got 2 of them that are working on the second kid, 2 kids in the cooker right now, okay? Two kids that will soon meet Uncle Dale. They're in the cooker, as I say. And so their wives are pregnant, and I can't wait. It's so exciting. But they're working on their second kid. And I was thinking about that this week, and when it comes to pressure and anxiety, and some of you are overwhelmed and you're anxious, and I don't want to disregard that. But I also want you to know that we should learn how to resolve this and even understand the right response to it, because I actually think in life, things get a little harder. The pressures and responsibilities can be overwhelming. And for me, this summer, I experienced this in a way that I've never experienced before. And it was really, really bizarre. I started to lose sleep. And I'm like a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, and especially in the summer when there isn't that much pressure, right? Like, I don't have to speak super regularly. All I have to do is travel around the country, inviting people to give to Vertical. You know, that's what my job is, and our staff in the summer, we fundraise and we prepare for the school year so that we can be here each and every week. And so that doesn't sound that hard, right? And I wasn't speaking weekly, like, at Vertical. I wasn't in front of people at football games. Like, you would think that that would bring the anxiety, but for whatever reason, it was this summer. I don't know what it was, but I just wasn't rightly responding to the pressures of life. So I started to lose sleep. I started to lack the ability to function properly. It actually ruined the way that I worked. Like, I was so distracted. I was distracted with worst case scenarios. It kept me from all sorts of being able to just be as efficient as I think I was made to be. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a season like this, but I remember I had a conversation with a friend and we were going for a run, and I just told him, I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. I'm anxious. I've never been anxious. I'm the happy-go-lucky guy. Like, I'm not supposed to be anxious. I don't even know if I'm allowed to tell people I'm anxious. I'm the Christian pastor, right? I'm paid to be a Christian, right? Like, and for whatever reason, this friend just wisely taught me this. He's like, dude, you need to write those things out. Those pressures, those anxieties, you need to write them out. You need to take them to the Lord, and I think you will quickly realize that that's pressure you're putting on yourself, or maybe that the world's putting on you, that you don't need to live with. You weren't made to live with it, and you actually can't live with it, is what he told me. He's like, you'll crumble. You can't keep carrying that on your own. And so this is how we're meant to rightly respond to anxiety. And as I told you, I was going to give a quick sermon, and then I'm going to give you a person that we can look to in the Bible who exemplified this for us. So, switch gears. We're going to do a person study. We're going to study the person of Peter. For those that don't know Peter, he's this character in the Bible that Jesus called to follow him. He was one of the fishermen, one of those guys. And he's like, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Peter dropped the net, followed him. And so Peter becomes a disciple of Jesus. And over time, Peter does what all the disciples do. You know, they go and follow Jesus around. And one of the things, at one point in life, there was this moment where all the disciples were anxious. So if you're kind of feeling shame about being anxious tonight, no shame anymore. The 12 disciples were anxious on the boat. There was a storm that came as they were traveling on a boat, and everyone was freaking out. And the story goes in Matthew 8 that Jesus was asleep. And all the disciples were freaking out. And they, in fact, had to go and wake Jesus up because they couldn't trust. They didn't know what to do. They were so scared. And they said, save us, Lord. We're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? And then he just casually rebuked the winds and the sea. And then there was great calm. So that's the disciples dealing with stress and anxiety just like we are. All right? And Peter would be one of them. And I love Peter. He's kind of a skittish guy. He seems like a skittish guy to me. Seems like he's kind of on his toes all the time. Just think about the time that he rebuked Jesus when Jesus said, I'm going to die and then raise from the dead and I have to suffer. And Peter was like, no, you're not, Lord. No, no, no. Let me go ahead and tell you what you're going to do. We're going to do this a little bit differently. I love Peter. He's like, no, 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 no. That's not the way my leader is going to act. Therefore, I'm going to do something about it. So Peter is that guy. In fact, Peter's the guy that in John 18, cuts off the high priest's ear. You know this story, possibly, when they're coming to arrest Jesus. Peter's the one that's like, nope, not on my watch. He was so scared that he's the only one that popped out his pocket knife to just go ahead and cut off somebody's ear. Of all the things to cut off, an ear. Weird, fine. But here's the deal, like, this is Peter. This is exactly who Peter is. And then we also know, or possibly know, that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. So just after he was willing to take out his pocket knife and slash somebody, he shortly after that wasn't even willing to be seen around Jesus or associate with him. And so he denies him three times because he's so scared and feels the pressure of what the association of being with Jesus might mean. And this is Peter. And what I love is that Jesus reinstates Peter. And in fact, he even names Peter the rock on which he will build his church. And later on in the Bible, it says that when Peter was doing ministry, after he's been reinstated, after all this has happened, he's reinstated, and it says in Acts 4:13 that as Peter and his friends were doing ministry, that they perceived that they were uneducated common men. So Peter's a scrub like you and me, and they were astonished, and they recognized that the difference was that they had been with Jesus. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves. And in verse 7, it says, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And then we close in Acts 12. Peter's on his deathbed in prison. Herod's about to just crucify him upside down. And he is chilling. Prison guard on each side, centuries of soldiers on the front of the prison, and he is asleep. And here's a few takeaways. You're like, whoa, that was a lot of information, kind of a random ending. He was asleep between the two prison guards. Here's a few takeaways I want you to see. First, our problems don't scare Jesus. Our problems don't scare Jesus. Think about when they're on the water and they're all freaking out and Jesus is just asleep. And I think that's encouraging for you and for me that our problems aren't overwhelming to him. Even if they're overwhelming to us, they're not overwhelming to him. And then I love that Peter gives us a way to deal with our anxieties, which is to give God our anxieties because he cares for us. He doesn't just say, hey, cast your anxieties off. He says, cast your anxieties off because God cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5, 7. And I love that it seems to be that God isn't cheating us. He cares for us. And that's a lot of the tension of college, is trying to figure out if God is actually really worth following. And if we follow him, he isn't actually cheating us, but rather he cares for us, wants what's best for us more than we want what's best for us. And what I love is that Peter, who was once this scared disciple on the water and Jesus was asleep, Peter, over time, learned peace from Jesus. That's one of the takeaways. Peter learned peace from Jesus. He was so asleep just before he was about to die that when the angel of the Lord came to set him free, break him out of jail a little bit early, unexpectedly, Peter, asleep, the angel of the Lord, it says, came in and was light in the room, and Peter still didn't wake up. And so the text says in Acts that behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, a light shone in the cell, and he had to strike Peter on the side. Homie is so asleep that the angel has to poke him. He's like, hello, I am an angel of light, but not light enough to wake you up, right? Like, this is what's happening. But Peter had learned peace from the person of Jesus. And I love, lastly, that God uses the unlikely. All the disciples were anxious in that boat. Peter being one of them. Peter being the one that pulled out his pocket knife because he was so stinking scared. And he was just a common man, uneducated. But he had been with Jesus. And this is good news for us. Although you're at a school being educated, we're really not all that smart. It's good news that we don't have to be a certain GPA to follow Jesus. We don't have to look a certain way to follow Jesus. We don't have to have a certain style. We don't even have to be good at communicating. We don't have to be any sort of category that people say. It's not true. All you need is the humility to cast aside your net and follow him. And now, since what Christ has done, we have the opportunity to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. And we can just trust in that. That as things come that bring anxiety and pressure, we can go, man, I'm going to entrust this with the God who is in control. I can approach God. I can ask God. I can have an attitude of thankfulness because of God. And I love that God chose to use Peter to build his church on. I love that the word Peter means rock, because life can be bumpy. It can feel like a roller coaster. But we have both the rock of Jesus Christ and his word, and also even the rock of faithful people that have gone before us, like Peter, that we can look to and go, oh man, I can be learning how to do this thing called life with the anxieties and burdens that we have. And so what do we do about this? In Philippians 4:9, it says this: what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. And so we need to practice these things. We need to learn how to do them. If we feel pressure or anxiety, we need to pray. And then we need to learn and experience that peace that comes from God, so that we're more likely to go to God the next time we feel anxiety or pressure. And so we're going to practice these things in just a moment. After I pray, this is exactly what we're going to do. There's note cards below you with pens. And so we want you to write out the things that bring you anxiety. But before you do that, in just a moment, I want to finish by telling you one thing. And it's that when I was on that plane, it didn't stop shaking when they prayed. The solution, or at least immediately it didn't. Eventually we landed, thankfully. But the solution to the things that bring anxiety aren't always what we want. But rather, the solution is a person, and the person gives peace. The solution isn't fixing the problem, it's having peace through the problem. That's what we're called to. And you know what's crazy about that story I told you is that JC was sitting next to those people that were praying, and the weird thing was they don't even believe in God. She struck up a conversation with them, and she said, oh, do you have a faith? And they said, no. They were just praying because they were scared out of their minds. They don't even believe in God, and they were praying. But what's crazy is that the scripture tells us to go to God in prayer, and we still don't. And so some of you actually are trying to deal with life, the anxieties and pressures of life, on your own, and you are like my friends on the plane. And you're like, man, I'm just praying for some sort of relief. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The relief comes from the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are what give us life, what give us peace, what give us freedom, and allow us to walk without the pressures of the world on our shoulders. And so I want to invite you, some of you tonight need to have a relationship with Jesus, not just know things about God. It's about knowing God, approaching him, asking him, and having an attitude of thankfulness because of what he has done for us and what he has given us. And so in summary tonight, don't be anxious, but be prayerful, so that we might find peace and joy amidst a disappointing, anxious, overwhelming life. I want to close with this story, and it's a parable from John 15. It's what we hand out, you know, at the beginning of the semester each year. We hand out this bracelet that says abide, and our goal is that you would hopefully be learning what it means to abide in Jesus, what it means to remain in him. And at the beginning of that passage, I want you to put your notes away and just listen to this and think about this. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that's snipping the vines. And any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he throws away. So those, if there's no fruit, they're not a Christian, which we can talk about another time, but that's the reality. And then, but those who are Christians, those who do bear fruit, he prunes that he may bear more fruit. So if you're here tonight, I want you to think about this. Are you in a season of fruit? Or are you in a season of pruning? And if you're like me, you're like, man, I'm kind of in a season of pruning. I feel this anxiety. I feel like things are challenging. They're hard. I feel these pressures and I'm trying to learn how to live with them. I'm trying to learn how to remain in Jesus with these prunings, these things that are happening in my life. And this beautiful picture came to me this week as I was thinking about this passage. For anyone that feels like it's been challenging recently, if you've been going through a season of pruning, I want to encourage you with this. The Father is the vine dresser. Therefore, we as branches, if we are getting pruned, we are the ones that he is closest to. Like he is the one doing it, not to spite us, but so that we might bear more fruit. So any challenging thing you're going through, just know that he is near to you. And this is good news for me. I'm like, wow, this is such a beautiful picture that I'm not alone in this fight. As things get overwhelming, I have a Father who's near. I have a God who cares. And it's all so that one day we may bear more fruit. I'm gonna pray that we would rightly respond to anxiety. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, would you help us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, would you help us to pray with supplication and thanksgiving? Would you help us to have the humility to let our requests be made known to you. And I pray, Jesus, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. May that be so for all of us. May we leave here different because of our right understanding of how to respond to the pressures of this world. Thank you for what you've done for us on the cross and sending us your son, Jesus, for allowing us to approach you and be reconciled to the Father. Lord, thank you. We pray this in your son, Jesus' name.